And to greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to open our Bibles this morning to Revelation. Chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And in his hand he had a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you've given for us, Lord, to turn to you, the precious chance that's given us, Father, to be reconciled to you in this short time that you've given us, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help us use it wisely. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Open the eyes of our understanding and our ears of our hearing, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. That there should be time no longer. You know, whatever you and I have, the only thing that matters is time. The time that you and I have is the most precious thing that we have. We are given time. There's no real way to put a definition on time. We have a span, we have a short while that we're on this earth. And in this short while that we're on this earth, we're separated from God. And God has saw fit in His grace and His mercy to speak to us and give us a time that we can hear His voice and return to Him. And that we can spend the rest of our time serving and seeking after Him to be reconciled to Him. But there's coming a day when all the clocks will stop, the sun will stand still, the moon and the stars will fall, and time will be no longer. The sand won't run through the hourglass any longer. Time will no longer matter. It's over. The door is shut forever on what you're going to be or what you could have been for God. I read about in Hebrews chapter 12 Verse 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That is a very sobering passage. Esau sold his birthright. He made one foolish decision. He didn't run out of time. But he had to live with some of the time that he had left, with the decision that he had made in time. And he looked for an opportunity to change that decision. And that decision had forever passed. Time was no longer. That decision that he made to sell his birthright, or to make the choice that he made, he never got another opportunity to fix it. His last opportunity was the time whenever God knocked on his door and he had the opportunity to be faithful and he failed. Then it was done. And though he sought repentance carefully with tears, there was no way to get that birthright back. He had sold it. Think about the book of Revelation sometimes when it says, I have set before thee an open door that no, when it's open, no man can open it or close it. And when it's closed, no man will open it. Your life right now is still that open door. Don't tarry to walk through it. There's coming a day when that door will be closed. There's coming a day when that door will be closed. That the opportunities that you have to do something today will not be available any longer. The opportunities that you have today will be closed. Not even counting the time when eternity comes and there will be time no longer. There's things that you're doing today that you may never, ever get the opportunity to do again. I think of the time whenever I walked in darkness and I lived my life and I lived my life full of zeal. I hardly wanted to go to sleep at night because I was afraid I was going to miss something in this life. I knew my time was short. And I wanted to get everything out of this life that I possibly could. And I remember when my eyes were open to eternity and to God's will. I was 25 years old. And whenever I realized how much of my life I had wasted. I felt like I was 80 and had one foot in the grave when I looked back and saw how much of my life I had wasted. Wasted. I thought I was full of life. I loved life in this world. When I gave my life to Jesus, I wasn't in a gutter. I was on top of this world. I had a perfect life in this world. Had everything I wanted or a way to get it. And when I realized how all of that meant nothing, and that I was going to stand before my God and give an account of my life, and all I could say is, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. And I just hoped that I could live just for a little while to live for Jesus. I hoped that I could just live for a little while, that I could do a little something for God, because I'd wasted my whole life. Our time is so precious and so short. It's here for just a little while and then it's gone. This passage here says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. I think Esau wasted a lot of his time feeling sorry for himself. He had been hurt. He had been chastened. He had been corrected. And he let that little bit of correction turn into bitterness. How many people have we saw fall by the way who wouldn't take a little bit of correction? And look what's happened. Some of the brethren that have left us over such small little things as a little bit of correction. And they got their pride hurt and their feelings hurt. And today they're just walking the rest of their time in darkness. Bitterness. Hurt, and allowing those hurt feelings to grow and to grow until it begins to affect others. There's men who have destroyed their wives and destroying their children because they're letting a little root of bitterness grow in their life. Jesus taught us that if we will not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And if we can't take correction without getting bitter, that root of bitterness will grow and grow and grow until it destroys us. God told Cain, that he had an opportunity to do what's right. But if he chose that which is wrong, he gave him a choice and an opportunity. We know that he rejected that and slew his own brother. Said, sin lieth at the door. sin is right there at the door. It's right there any time that we can walk through it. And it'll lead us down a path that we may never get another opportunity to escape out of. One choice in his life. Verse 17 again, for we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What a sad testimony. What a sad testimony. We've all had times in our lives that we wish we could go back and fix things. One time, I hadn't been converted very long, and I still owned several apartments here in town. And I remember there was one young family, man and a woman, I don't know, they maybe had two children, little children. And one evening, I was collecting rent. And I'd gone to their house, and I wanted to talk to them about the Lord. And I got a little afraid to talk to him. Got scared. I used to, I'm still capable of it. I used to get scared whenever I wanted to talk to someone about the Lord. And I decided, well, I'll just wait. I'll talk to him tomorrow evening. So I left. I went back the next evening with fresh courage and walked right up to the door and knocked on the door. Nobody came. So I thought, well, I'll just come back tomorrow evening. So I went back the next evening and I knocked on the door and nobody came. And so I thought, well, maybe they're in the very back room. So I knocked a little louder and the door across the way opened behind me. And the lady that was living in that apartment asked what I was doing. And I said, well, I was looking for these people here. And she said, you didn't hear? And I said, hear what? Well, last night they were coming home. They were all killed in a car wreck. All of them. Time was no longer. Time was no longer. I couldn't go back. They can't come back. They went to meet God. And I missed my chance to clear myself of them. When the door shuts, it's shut. When God shuts the door, it's open no more. Time will be no longer soon. And only what we have done for Christ will last. Nothing else in this world will matter. Not one thing that you do in this life will matter. Sometimes it may seem futile. And sometimes it may be. It seems like people don't care. And they may not. They may have already passed that threshold where they've sold their blessing and there's no finding it again. God never promises us a second opportunity. He never promises us a first opportunity to repent. He gives it to us. It's His mercy and His grace opening the door to give us an opportunity to return to Him. He doesn't have to give us 2 seconds out of our life. But He's merciful. And He has given us the opportunity to hear. He has appeared to all men. Remember your life. The time will be no longer soon. We're not guaranteed anything. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I wish I could just portray the finality. I wish we could get in our minds the finality of no other opportunity. It's not all just about witnessing. It's the opportunity to be a helper. It's the opportunity to do what's right. It's the opportunity to give. It's the opportunity to be a blessing. It's the opportunity to fix things that we've done wrong. It's the opportunity to be what God has created us to be. And we have those opportunities to us right now. We have a little time, and then it's over. We have a little time to purify that which is lacking in our hearts. We have a little time to correct those things that we don't like. The verse says the tree lays where it falls, something to that effect. Wherever our tree falls, there it's going to lay. Whatever bed you're making is the one you're going to sleep in eternity. We need to instill that in our children. If they make a bed, they need to learn to lay in it. That means doing without things sometimes. Teach them to learn to live with the consequences of their actions. And instill that into their souls so that they can see past just the temporary of this life and into eternity. If we can't learn to get along with our brothers and sisters here, how are we going to ever get along with them in eternity? Time will be no longer. It's over. Use what time we have left wisely. May the Lord add His blessings to His words.